time to have a look at hidden history. Alexandra Fountain. I know the first time I ever came to Bendigo, and you know, driving along High Street, you come around that last bend, and then you see it, and there's the great buildings behind it, and the park. You just go, wow, this is just fantastic.
But can I just pull you up on something, Alex?
It's
not really hidden. It's there for all to see.
No, I know.
Oh, I know. Don't get technical.
But the hidden history being that some people may not know the background to it.
You said it's all the buildings behind it as you come around the corner.
Very good, very good. Charles Fay, while we sort of swap tete-a-tetes, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark, Steve.
Good morning.
So, Alexandra Fountain, it is a beautiful piece of work, isn't it?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons it was built was that the great British novelist came to Bendigo and in 1871, and he described the town as being uncouth, barren and disorderly.
Oh, really? So,
that sounds like Robbo.
So I think in the years after, there was an attempt to sort of clean up the town. And the fountain comes after a period of sort of quite extensive building. And it was built in 1880 and opened in 1881. And I think the idea of the fountain was to basically educate the youth of Bendigo, sort of give them sort of roots back into the classical culture of Europe. Now, it was quite expensive when it was built. It was built from... They had a juvenile exhibition in Bendigo in 1880, from which they raised £1,000, and then George Lansell threw in an extra £500 to complete the project. So very expensive. Wow. And I think one thing that distinguishes it a lot is that it was built by Bendigo's, I suppose, most prominent architect in the 19th century.
William Vallance.
Having a senior moment there.
Yeah, it's amazing when you talk about Vallance, and we have spoken about him some time back on this segment, but... you know, there's some beautiful buildings, and European. They were trying to make it at one stage, I read, the Vienna of the South. I don't know whether they quite got there, but there's some beautiful buildings around.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, a couple of British tourists or visitors came in the 19th century, and they sort of said Bendigo appeared like a sort of small German principality.
Mm.
But another thing they were trying to do, I think, was to sort of demonstrate the new industries of Bendigo. So the fountain itself is built from Harcourt granite, and if you think about it, it was a bloody difficult place to build it because it's where the creek goes through the town, and you know people had dug that over for gold in the 1850s. So the foundations of the stone of the fountain are built of Harcourt granite, and they go down in about 3 meters of solid stone. So it's a massive structure.
Should be there for a while then.
Well, when you say that, I think there was some talk in the 1970s to remove it because it was stopping the flow of traffic, which. Yeah.
They loved in the 70s, didn't they? You know, just what can we tear down this week? You know,
yeah, got a veranda here and a veranda there. Yeah, get rid of them. Yeah,
yeah.
And of course it was named after a British royal. I think we can't forget that the men and women of 19th century Bendigo, except for the Irish, probably were royalists.
Mm.
So it was named after the Princess of Wales, Princess Alexandra, and it was opened by her sons, Prince Albert and Prince George, who arrived in 1881.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was a great, I suppose, a monument to a chap by the name of Peter Finn, who was a local stonemason, and you know he was able to advertise his wares by building this magnificent monument.
Yeah, I see that. Other than the exhibition fountain in Melbourne's Carlton Gardens, it's the most ornate and largest fountain in Victoria.
Okay, the ornamentation is fascinating because it's basically, well, there's four, I suppose, semi-naked women, but the rest of it's sort of acanthus leaves, which are again a sort of classical illusion. But But it uses sea images, which is, again, very interesting in a place which is 150 miles from the... 150 k's from the sea.
Hey, very quickly, before you go, what is a juvenile industrial exhibition?
Ah, okay.
well, that's where they raise the money. There's one for you without notice.
I can answer that.
Oh, okay.
It was basically a setup to deal with young orphan kids who are in care, and they sort of tried to train them to be useful members of society
by paying them very little and working them in factories.
Something like that.
Oh, he's an old cynic. Anyway, Charles, it was quite interesting to see the difference after the refurbishment in a few years, about 4 years ago now. And to bring it back to its original look was something to behold, wasn't it? It was really good.
Oh, that was fantastic, because I remember when I first came to Bendigo, it was covered in sort of, 100 years of sort of road traffic grime, and they had a massive project to clean it up, and it looks magnificent now, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah. No, I think it's wonderful. Charles, great as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, catch you.
That is Charles Fay, our history expert on the Wake Up Call, the Gold Centre of Victoria.